Welcome to Summit Church. Here, we strive to be a church where you can belong long before you come to believe. At each of our locations, we worship together, learn and grow together, serve together, and form relationships around a common purpose, to inspire people to find and follow the way of Jesus. Join us in listening to this week's sermon.
Well, Christmas traditions, we're getting close, 11 days out till Christmas, and we are thinking through in our family, okay, how are we gonna do it this year? What are we gonna do? There are traditions that we have. Stockings, we still do stockings. They're very important to us. We go to services. We open presents on Christmas morning because that's the biblical way to do it, and anything else is not quite up to par. We have special meals and special dishes at those meals. You know all the things that you do, and it's really enjoyable to be back. And a few days from now, I'm going to do my own personal Christmas tradition because no one else in my family wants to do it with me anymore. I sit down in my favorite chair, and I watch my favorite Christmas movie, the best Christmas movie ever made. It's A Wonderful Life. Now, thank you for the smattering of applause over there. I saw it on TV. They did a survey on the favorite Christmas movies, and I don't know who did this survey. They didn't know what they were doing. the top one was Elf. And I mean, that's just the silliest thing you've ever heard. And then A Christmas Story, which, you know, Ralphie and the BB gun, and I guess that's clever. But my movie, It's a Wonderful Life, came in third, but it's actually first. And given time, it will overtake the other two as well. You know, have you seen It's a Wonderful Life? I mean, it's a movie made before I was even born, for crying out loud. It came out in 1947. And it's a wonderful life of talking about George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, Mary Bailey, Donna Reed. You've got the best villain in any movie I've ever seen. Lionel Barrymore was Henry Potter, an evil man. And it's just like it's this great story of a life that influences a bunch of people, but all of a sudden comes into some serious, serious difficulty. And I think the reason that it's probably the best Christmas movie ever, it's got an angel in it. And that angel is named Clarence Oddbody, played by Henry Travers, a wonderful character actor. And it's just a delightful movie. And I watch it, I know the lines, I know what's gonna happen next, and I always cry at the end, always. Because it's that kind of a movie. But it wouldn't be a good Christmas movie if it didn't have an angel. And the Christmas story wouldn't really exist as we know it without angels in it. And we sing about angels in our carols all the time. We sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Silent Night, you know, angels, shepherds quake at the sight. Hark, the herald's angels sing. The first Noel, the angels did say. Oh, come all ye faithful, sing, choirs of angels sing in exaltation. We sing about them and we celebrate the angels at that time. Gabriel the angel came to Mary, informed her of her task and what God was calling her to do, which she wholly accepted. Gabriel came to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, let him know that John the Baptist was going to be coming. Angel came to Joseph in his dreams. And I think most dramatically, in the text we're going to look at today, the angels came to the shepherds, and they proclaimed the coming of Jesus. So I'd like to read once again and just highlight for you this passage, Luke chapter 2. And I'll start in verse 8 and focus on the shepherds and focus on this story. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So you have this setting. These shepherds were in fields that were a little bit south and east of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a city about 6 miles south of Jerusalem in modern-day Israel, still there. It sits on a hill. It's about, I think, 2,700 feet above sea level. And the fields then are down into what becomes the Jordan River Valley. And those fields are there, and that's where the shepherds were watching these sheep. Shepherds were unfortunately near the bottom of the socioeconomic chain at that time. They weren't a valued part of the society back then. They couldn't even go to the temple and worship because their job was considered unclean. They had difficult jobs. They were keeping these sheep alive. They protected them from predators. They protected them from poisonous plants, from eating too much. They were in a very difficult job with not a whole lot of benefits to them as well. Couldn't worship in the temple due to their contact with these animals. And sheep. Sheep, when we look at the crash and the representation of the birth of Jesus, we see these nice, clean sheep. They're really dirty animals, honestly. And they're very, very dumb. Sheep are probably on the lowest rung of animal intelligence. And a little bit smelly as well, but I won't go into that part of it. But these shepherds, honestly, had a pretty important task. It's not just that they were watching these sheep. These sheep were there for a specific reason. This area of south and east of Bethlehem was an area where these sheep were raised, so these animals could be sacrificed at the temple. There was a tower also that was constructed in the middle of this field, and it was called the Migdal Eder, Hebrew for the Tower of the Flock. And this tower was noted in a prophecy by Micah in the Old Testament hundreds of years before this event. In Micah chapter 4, verse 8, he writes these words, "As for you, watchtower of the flock," there's the phrase, Migdal Eder, "stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored in you. Kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem." So you have this prophecy noting this tower in the middle of this field where the shepherds were watching their sheep, and there's this hint of, there's this prophecy of a coming king that will come to Jerusalem. So this tower provided the ability to oversee the flock both for their safety and for the priest to be there to ensure that each of those lambs would be pure and perfect before they could be certified to be okay to be taken to the temple and to be sacrificed. A lot of sheep this time. Josephus, one early historian, verse in 66 AD, writes that in 1 year over 250,000 sheep were raised and brought to the temple. That's a lot of sheep, and that's a little bit of the setting where we find this passage. The weather. This is probably in the winter. The weather in Bethlehem this time of the year is similar to Lake City, Florida, if you know that city, about 2 hours north of here. The evenings were pretty cool, sometimes cold. The days were more temperate, but this was the setting, probably dark. There were probably fires that dotted the fields while these shepherds were watching these sheep. And then, bam! An angel. Can you imagine? There's an angel. Have you ever seen an angel? C.S. Lewis, in his intro to Screwtape Letters, writes this. He says, in Scripture, the visitation of an angel is always alarming. It has to begin by saying, "Fear not." The Victorian angel looks as if it were going to say, there. Spiritual beings that worship God, that's what angels are. They're described as flames of fire, and they're ministering spirits to believers And they were also called upon, especially in these texts that we've looked at these last weeks and the week to come, they're also called upon to communicate very important messages. And this is probably one of the most important messages ever communicated to men on this earth, the coming of the Messiah. I don't know if I've seen an angel or not. I had a friend of mine who was going through a difficult time and really struggling, trying to find out if God wanted him to continue to work in a difficult relationship that he was in. He had to ponder it, pray about it. He felt God wanted him to continue to really strive for healing in this relationship. And I remember he was talking to me. He looked at me. He said, "Do you think I'm doing what God wants me to do?" I said, "I think you are." He says, "Well, I'm praying for a sign. I want to know that this is the right thing to do." And about a week later, I talked to him, and he said, "I was at Publix," which is a great place to go to figure out what God wants you to do, I think. I said, "What was at Publix?" He goes, "You won't believe this." He said, "I was in the checkout line. And I was just my food, and there was an older woman behind me, and she had her food and, you know, ready to pay for after I paid for mine. And as I was getting ready to go, she tapped me on the shoulder. And she said, 'What you're doing, I want you to know that God told me to tell you that's what he wants you to do.'" He said, "Do you believe that?" I go, "Well, you're telling it to me, I suppose." It is. Yeah. He said, "I was shy." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I waited outside for her to come out. And when she came out, I looked at her and I said, 'Are you an angel?'" He did. He asked her. And you know what she did? She winked and she said, "Today I am." And she just walked away. I think this passage in Hebrews 13 is great. That the writer of Hebrews throws this in. I just love this. He goes, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers or to visiting preachers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." That's a little grace note in there, isn't it? But here, these shepherds, there was no not knowing what it was. That was an angel. And it was an angel because it caused them great fear. They were, the word terrified has two Greek words about it. Mega and phobon. Megaphobia, great fear. They were almost struck paralyzed by this vision of this angel who was before them. Christmas is an emotional time. Sometimes we come to Christmas and there are things going on in our lives that aren't all that pleasant. And sometimes Christmas is a time where we remember some negative things that have happened in our lives. There are some Christmases where we've just had fear. Fear for what's going on, fear for incidents in our lives. I remember back in 1979, right before our daughter was born, we were planning on this baby coming. It was Christmas time. We were in ministry. We did campus ministry. We were living in the Northeast. And I added up my finances one night and realized that all of a sudden there was no insurance that we had to pay for the birth of our daughter and the hospital expenses that we'd incur. And I just got fearful. I didn't know what to do. We were supported by churches and individuals that would support our ministry, but we just didn't have the funds in our ministry account to do that. So this one night close to Christmas, I called a member of my home church that was in Ohio, just a guy that I knew, and just said, "Hey, this is my situation. I have no idea if there's anyone can help. I know this is last minute." And he was very kind. He said he would ask around. But I remember I was so fearful at that time. And then bolting ahead 18 years from there, Christmas time was a time when we discovered that our daughter at that time, who was born and obviously raised with us all those years, was going through some really serious medical problems and was going to have a serious major operation. And I remember going through that Christmas with that fear over our heads and trying to figure out, okay, you know, what's God doing here? And I imagine these shepherds, when they saw that angel, they had that same fear. What's God doing here? Why is he doing this? What's the message? And then, verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. So it's not just one angel. Now it's a host of angels. Bam, bam. There it is. And there they are trying to take all this in and hear this wonderful anthem. The scripture says they were saying it, but I think it was probably saying and singing at the same time. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I always am reminded this season of the humility of the Son of God coming and in poverty, being laid in a manger. We sing about it, we think about it, we read about it. But I also smile at this passage because I think God the Father says, I got to do something to announce this birth that's supernatural, that's a little bit above. And I think you have the spirit of a proud father as he announces the birth of his son on earth. I remember when our son was born, went into the hospital, 2:30 a.m. My wife was about to have our son. 9:30 that morning, he finally was born. It was exciting. We were so thrilled that he was there. He was healthy. I played a major role in that, I thought. You know, I was coach. I timed contractions, did really important things like that. So my wife just shook her head and said, don't look at me anymore, you know, things like that. When I found out that everything was okay, I said, hey, I'm going to go home and change real quick and then come back. And then I went out and get a bite to eat. I remember sitting at the table and this waitress comes up and she said, what do you want to eat? I said, I just had a boy. And she said, well, good for you. And would you like to order now? I said, no, I want to talk about my boy. And I remember I got a free meal that day. That was good. I just wanted people to know. And you know what? Luke 2, God wanted people to know. He wanted people to know that his boy had come. And it was a great thing. The shepherds go in. They see the baby. They just start telling people, you will not believe what happened to us. And the passage says, when they spread the word concerning what had been told about the child, all who heard it were amazed at what these shepherds had to say. From being petrified to praising, from fear to euphoria. So what fear do you have this Christmas? What expectations are you trying to deal with? Things that might be worrying or upsetting. Whatever it is, this passage reminds us that Christmas is the time of hope. There's a divine interruption, and its celebration reminds us that a Savior has come. 30 years later, John the Baptist would stand in the Jordan River, and when Jesus arrived to be baptized by John the Baptist, he would exclaim for all to hear, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So God allowed the keepers of the sacrificial lambs to be the first ones to witness the Lamb of God. Let me show you the real Lamb, the Father said to them, the one who will be sacrificed for the world once for all and to make you clean, from unclean to forgiven. In 1979, that shortfall of finances, after I called my friend from my church at home, I got a call a half hour later, and he said, it's covered, everything's taken care of. I said, really? I said, that fast? He said, there's a guy in our church, he's done very well this year, and he's got some money, and he's gonna cover the whole thing. Didn't know who the man was. I never met him before, and I never met him since. But the money was there, and we went from fear to euphoria. Fast forward 18 years, my daughter has to go through very serious surgery, very difficult recovery, had to go back into the hospital because of some complications. We were worried. We had an eventual consultation with a doctor after some testing, and he informed us one Friday afternoon, an appointment, that that some of the tests didn't come back very clean, and that we were going to have to really be concerned about the ultimate health of our daughter. And it seemed to me for the first time that we could lose our daughter, and it was devastating. I was terrified. The next day, I had promised someone who had heard me speak at a conference that I would go to a convention of mobile oil representatives down in Disney, and I would do a prayer breakfast for them on that Saturday morning. And that's the last thing I wanted to do, given the news I had the day before. I didn't have the man's number. I couldn't call him. And I just wanted to say, hey, I can't do it, because we were trying to deal with all this emotional stuff. Didn't have his phone number. So I just went down. I was probably the most reluctant prayer breakfast speaker you'd ever want to meet. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like being nice to other people, having them pray. I mean, I did not have a good attitude at all. I was terrified. Went down. The man who signed me up to do this said, hey, there'll be about 200 people there. They'll have a breakfast. It'll be really great. I got there. There was no breakfast. There were maybe 20 people. It was just one of those, oh, boy. And I'm going, all right, you know, do you still want to? These 20 people were there. There wasn't even a room set up. We just had this one-off round table in this small room with some chairs. And I said, do you still want to do this? Hey, you're here? And yeah, we'd like to hear what you have to say. So I remember standing in front of this group of people, this round table, speaking. I can't even remember what I said. And at the end, and I don't know why I did it, but I probably just out of, you know, what I was feeling, I just shared a little bit about what was going on with our daughter and some concerns we had. And one of the men that was there stood up and said, you know what? He said, you came to us, shared some things. Can we pray for you? And I remember these people just stood up from their table, surrounded me, laid hands on me, and just prayed for my daughter, prayed for our family. And I remember the emotion of being there going, Lord, this is not what I expected, but this is you showing up in a way that I didn't expect. People I'd never met before, people I never met, will never meet again this side of heaven. And I don't know if there was an angel in the bunch, but maybe there was. Maybe they're all angels. I don't know. But I felt different when I left. I remember being on the 417. God met me on the 417 driving home, and he said, it's going to be okay. Didn't know how or why, but God lifted the burden there. And then the 2 days later, we got the report that one doctor had misread all of the tests, and that our daughter was going to be okay, and she was, and we went from fear to euphoria. There's a scene in It's a Wonderful Life where George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, he's devastated by some events that has him in a place where he can be arrested for fraud, his reputation is ruined, he's financially devastated, and it's just the only thing he has in his pocket is his life insurance policy, and he stands on a bridge thinking he's going to jump in that water, end his life, so at least his family can have some life insurance money. And that's when the angel shows up. And Clarence Oddbody, the angel, takes him through what it would be like in his town if he had never existed. And all of a sudden, George Bailey has a recognition of, oh, okay, I really want to live again. And he goes back to that bridge and prays, God, just help me to live again. I want to live again. This baby came so you and I could live again. And live again in a way that we never deserved, never expected, but so we could go from fear to euphoria. writer says these words. I love these words. God invades our broken down and mundane lives with angels and light and shoutings of praise. And he tips the balance on the scales of our eternity with a little newborn baby, our Redeemer. God came downstairs with a baby in his arms and laid him in a manger and set our world on fire. That's what he did at Christmas. So as A Wonderful Life ends with a Christmas carol. And it's my favorite Christmas carol because it's a Christmas carol that people have said for years now. It's probably the best Christmas carol theologically ever written. Hark the herald angels ring. Angels sing. And they all sing it at the end of the movie. But I love the last verse. Here's the last verse of this carol. You've sung it. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Thank God for those angels, and thank God for his son. Let's pray. Before I pray, I'd like you to just take some time. If you're going through some situations in your life that are causing you fear or difficulty, maybe it's relationship problems or financial problems, health problems, whatever the situation is, I'd like you just in some silent moments here, just take those before the Lord and ask him to come and this season begin to change that fear into euphoria through his presence and through his grace and through what he can do in your life. Just take some time and do that now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the message that these angels gave on that dark night outside of Bethlehem to these men. Thank you for their response. Thank you for their excitement and for their sharing and for the fact that they glorified you and gave you praise. And God, may we this season, as we see you at work in our lives, the lives of the people that we love, may we glorify you and praise you for what you are doing in our lives, but not only that, for what you are doing in the lives of the people that we love and care for. I pray, Lord, that in a special way you would meet with us this season, and so we could sing along with those angels to your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening with us today. Remember, you can also watch our services on YouTube or at summitchurchfl.org. Those links can be found in the show notes, along with ways to follow us on social media. Now, go in God's grace and peace. We look forward to worshiping with you soon.